Welcome to the Pay Yourself First podcast. My name is Chris Jolly, and I'm on a mission to financially empower millions of entrepreneurs. I want you to make and keep more money so that you can begin implementing and turbocharging a plan for creating financial freedom your way during the life cycle of your current business without spending a ton of time or becoming a professional investor. You see, most of the financial teachings out there are made for employees, not entrepreneurs. If you wouldn't listen to someone who doesn't have kids about parenting, why take business financial advice from someone without a business? Are you ready to break free of bad advice and follow the trail of other uncommon entrepreneurs so you can get from where you are now to the lifestyle you were aiming to create when you started your business? Then stick around. Here comes another episode of Pay Yourself First, where the only investment we offer is the one you make in yourself. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited to be on again today. I am every single time because we have another amazing entrepreneur on deck for you. Her name is Kirsten Graham, and her business is six-figure business coaching. She's a business coach. She also helps people hire VAs and help with their marketing. And she is based in Sarasota, Florida. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Chris, thank you so much for having me. I'm good. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on. I'm sure we're going to deliver a lot of awesome content for the audience and have some fun, hopefully a few laughs. So why don't we just jump right into it? Tell me a little bit more about your business and who you serve.
Yeah, so we serve entrepreneurs basically online and local. So they don't some brick and mortar. We help our clients with their marketing. As a business coach, what I kept seeing was a lot of clients struggle with lead generation and just marketing as a whole. And a lot of them can't afford an agency. So we decided to help our clients outsource overseas. And we do that by pairing them with a virtual assistant that we've already interviewed, vetted, and trained. And then we help our clients get very clear on their video strategy or their podcast strategy, their social media marketing and email marketing. So our clients just have to create one fabulous piece of content each week. And then the virtual assistant does everything else.
That sounds almost too good to be true. Now, I've talked to a lot of marketers on this podcast, and one thing I always like to ask them is, what is either the biggest misconception entrepreneurs have about marketing, or what is their biggest failing? What are they just missing at and not understanding?
I think for so many of them, they forget all the things that they know, right? So as a business owner, you've been doing what you do for so long and you love what you're doing, but you often forget that your prospects or your future clients, they have simple questions. And that's why we really focus on just delivering value, providing content that really explains to your ideal client how you can help them and the problems that you solve. And we do that in a very educational way rather than in a very salesy way. And I want to be clear, there's nothing wrong with sales because we all have to make sales to generate revenue for our business. Right. But I think when it comes to marketing is where you can really lean into who you are and how you truly help people. And I think the more you give out and the more you try to serve people, your ideal clients are going to find you.
Absolutely. So somebody comes to you and they're either haven't been successful in their marketing efforts or don't really know what to do. What is the first thing that you do with them to help point them in the right direction?
Yeah, generally, we want to look at what they're doing now. And I think with AI, we're starting to see a lot more content showing up on websites. It used to be if you could consistently write a great blog post every week, you could, with the right keywords and those types of things, you could keep your website ranking. But that's getting harder and harder with all of the content created by AI. So we're looking for our clients of how can they get out in front of their ideal clients. First of all, do they know who their ideal client is? I guess that's the number one thing. Are they clear on who their ideal clients are? And then secondly, are they really clear on what their keywords are and what people are searching for? What problems do they solve that their ideal clients are searching for? And so once we help them really lean into that, then we talk to them about getting comfortable either on YouTube videos, like talking head style videos, or we talk to them about maybe starting a podcast, because for a lot of people, interviewing someone is easier than just sitting in front of a little green light and recording yourself. So once we help them understand what type of content they want to create, the next hurdle is figuring out how to overcome their fears of outsourcing. I think so many business owners think they need to be able to do it all. And the reality is you don't have to. And most business owners deserve the support that a virtual assistant can give them. And it really is the first step, I think, to growing your business, because there's only 24 hours in a day and we can all only work so many hours. So when you can really leverage someone else's time at a very affordable rate to help you consistently put out content that showcases who you are and your values and how you teach people and how you help them. So that was a long answer for a simple question.
No, that's a great answer. And you said a really key word there at the end, which is leverage. That's something that I talk to people about all the time, because it's true. You can't do everything yourself. Trying to do it is a recipe for burnout and failure. You can't grow if you do it that way. And the number one strength in my mind of an entrepreneur is the ability to leverage, whether it's other people's money, other people's time, your own knowledge and skill set, whatever the case may be. So absolutely very important. Now, with that in mind, I know from being in business myself and from doing a lot of hiring and talking to other people who have to do it, for many business owners, it's nerve-wracking to bring somebody on board, especially if it's your first time, because you've probably gone from having a smaller business, not necessarily bringing in a ton of money, and now you're about to make this big capital outlay and wondering, am I going to get any return? Is this person going to stay? All of those things. Mm-hmm. How do you help entrepreneurs that you work with overcome those kind of fears?
Yeah, so we have clients where their marketing virtual assistant is literally their first hire. And then we have other companies that it's a large organization and their maybe in-house marketing person needs support because they're finally ready to lean into video content. So I think the number one thing that most of us business owners are not good at is SOPs, standard operating procedures, and documenting everything that we do. So that I think is where our strong suit is. My business partner, Jeannie, is fantastic at creating SOPs. And in fact, she owned a marketing agency. So we've been outsourcing for 16 years. And over that time of having a fully remote team doing all of her client work, we really put systems and processes in place that work. So the first thing I would say to a business owner is you don't have to know how to do everything. I don't need to know how to edit a video to tell someone what I like or dislike about their edits, right? Yeah. I don't have to know how to do it to say, oh, that B-roll isn't really on point for us because it has a lot of men in it. And most of our clients are women. So we like to keep like an 80-20 ratio with male to female images in our videos. So I can educate whoever's editing for me without knowing how to do that. So I think the biggest thing is having the structure in place for bringing someone on. And that's what we provide for our clients, is having the structure so that they can manage that virtual assistant with ease, because everything's documented that the virtual assistant is doing week after week. And I hate to say it, it is rinse and repeat. Our clients are creating one fabulous piece of content a week, and then the virtual assistant does everything else. So they just have to go in and give edits for the video. Hey, I love this. I didn't like that. Change this. Keep that. Same thing with the social media post. That looks fantastic. I'd rather you change the image on this one. So really, they're just going in and signing off on what the virtual assistant has done. So I think the biggest challenge for anyone, whether you're bringing someone on halfway around the world or locally, is having your SOPs, having a very clear job description, being very clear about what the expectations are, and then very clear way of managing them that does not suck your time. If you're hiring someone for 20 hours a week and you're spending 10 hours managing them, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So many great points here. I think something that happens is that we tend to micromanage, especially the first time we bring somebody on, because mm-hmm. we want to make sure they're doing the right job. Maybe we haven't trained people before or haven't in this position. And if you're trying to leverage them to get your time back and then you're spending all of your time with them, you're not helping yourself. And that comes down to, I think, exactly what you said, is people are starting businesses, running businesses for a while, and they're not doing the SOPs because they figure I'm the only one doing it. I get up every day. I know how it's supposed to be done. I don't have to explain anything. But if you wait until that moment when you have to hire someone, now, one, by the time you hire somebody, you probably needed them a month ago anyway. And now you have, right. And now you have to go through this whole process of trying to train them, make sure they're doing the right thing. And they don't even have anything to refer back to know whether they're doing the right thing. And it just gets to be a mess.
Chris, we actually have quite a few clients who come to us when they first start their business. Okay. We're finding a lot of people start their business later in life. Maybe they've retired from a career. And so they have some resources. They have, you know, some money. And they also know that they want to do what they love doing. Maybe they've had a corporate job for a long time where they had to do a lot of things that they weren't passionate about. So with running their business, their commitment is to really do what they do best. And so they're willing to start off right off the bat with having someone to support them with their marketing. But I don't know about you, it sounds like you've hired a lot. Jeannie and I like to joke that if it could be done wrong, when we started outsourcing overseas, we did it wrong, often more than once. I'm slow learner sometimes. It's like anything else. It's a two-sided coin or a two-way street. Sometimes we were taken advantage of. And sometimes we were probably the crappiest bosses on the planet, right? Yeah. So it's just it's a learning process. And that's our goal, is to be able to take all that pain and suffering that we went through, you know, out of our clients' hands, and to be able to just give them a proven system that works so that they get the support that they need. Because again, some of them haven't ever managed anyone. We really help them understand their role as a leader.
Yeah. If you would explain to me, what were those kind of challenges and roadblocks you ran into hiring overseas? And sure. How have you navigated them so that your clients who are coming to you might be like, oh, I'm hiring somebody halfway around the world. They're going to be awake when I'm sleeping. They maybe don't speak the language as well, all these different things. How do you comfort them?
Sure. So we started outsourcing 16 years ago. So long before Zoom.
Wow.
And it was really a case of Jeannie, who was actually one of my coaching clients at the time. I was mentoring her, and her business really took off. And I said, hey, like, I've read about outsourcing overseas. Would you want to try that? And I've always had staff. I had a lot of staff for my mortgage company. So I was used to having in-house staff. And yeah, she said, yeah, why not? So we went on this journey. We've hired from 6 different countries. We've hired hundreds of people. But the reality is, we just not being clear on who we wanted to hire, or exactly what soft skills and hard skills they needed. So we often hired the wrong person. Little things like we paid a guy up front and then he disappeared on us. You know, he needed help, and we're women who care about people. So we're like, oh yeah, we can pay you in advance. And then he didn't show up. And just little things, or we didn't have documented processes. It is really hard to create your SOPs when you're in the middle of onboarding and training.
Yeah.
So that was all the things that we did wrong. But once we figured out how to have a remote team and how to have structure, how to make sure we hired correctly, how to make sure we were onboarding them properly, making sure that they had clear expectations of what we expected, and making sure that they knew that they could communicate with us any of their concerns or thoughts or ideas, because we want to have a really great team environment. So it was a lot of learning and definitely a lot of sleepless nights, but it's really funny because the time difference has never fazed us. And one of the reasons for that is when Jeannie was staffing her agency and the virtual assistants were doing client work, they were designing websites, they were setting up LinkedIn profiles for clients. She always said it was like getting up in Christmas morning every day. You get up and all this work has been done.
Yeah.
And so then she just had to spend that day going through it and signing off on it and reaching out to the clients to get them to sign off on it. And then by that night, you have your instructions for your virtual assistants to take back over. So the time difference, I think, for marketing is ideal. And that's what we tell our clients. We have a process where they usually meet with their clients once a day for about 2 weeks. And then it goes down usually to 3 times a week for about 4 weeks. And then it's once a week. So really you're only meeting with your virtual assistant about an hour a week. So they're doing their job. They know what that job is. By that point, they know what you like and dislike. They know your brand colors. They know your fonts. Yeah. So they can do their job really well. And then you can just sign off on it and communicate through the process, through the software.
Sounds easy.
It is fairly easy on a good day.
Yeah, it always has to be on a good day. Anything can happen at any time, right? Okay, now, can you tell me, you mentioned both recommending video and also podcasts. Do you find one tends to perform better than the other? Do you recommend doing a video podcast if you do choose that format? Does it depend on your business, or kind of what have you discovered there?
Yeah, so we didn't really lean into podcasting until YouTube really leaned into podcasts. And the reason for that is I feel like podcasts were just so hard to serve. Right? You can put all your show notes on your website and things like that. But I feel like it's a lot harder for people to find podcasts than it is to find a YouTube video. So we were at PodFest in 2019 and we didn't start our podcast. And then we went to PodFest this year in January. And that was the main message for everyone, is lean into video. And I'll have to tell you, I started doing videos for my mortgage company back in 2007. It was amazing. You do not realize the relationship the video marketing builds. When people see you consistently, they'll see my dog in a video, like they get to know you, your expressions and how you talk and your mannerisms. And so they really feel like they know you from your video, almost to an uncomfortable situation where if someone walks in, oh, hey, how are you? And you're like, how do I know this person? Where did I meet them? Oh my gosh. And you realize you've never met them. They've just watched so many of your videos. They feel like they know you. So I always recommend videos over just audio. And then the choice is, would you rather do talking head videos where you're kind of on your own, or would you rather have a interview style podcast?
Yeah. And I think, like you said earlier, for a lot of people, interview style is easier than just trying to sit there for 20 minutes and ramble off whatever's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think there are people who definitely love just going with the show. They like being on camera. They love just delivering those 10 to 20 minute videos by themselves. I think it just depends. And I think you're starting to see a lot more of us who will have talking head videos and podcast style videos. So that really, we're seeing a lot more of our clients do that. They already have a lot of talking head videos, and now they're adding on interview style podcast videos.
Awesome. Okay, Kirsten, we talked a little bit before the interview, actually, about something awesome new you've got coming out, a new program. Can you explain about that to everybody?
Sure. Yeah. So we're rolling out a new program that will actually help our clients get booked on podcasts. I'm very lucky. I have a virtual assistant who books me on fabulous podcasts with you, Chris. Yeah. And so we realized that for a lot of business owners, getting in front of other people's audiences can help them so much. So whether that's helped them to build their own audience, to sell the book that they just wrote, help them to get speaking engagements, help them to book sales calls. So we really wanted to lean into helping our clients get booked on podcasts. And there are a lot of fabulous agencies out there. But again, it's a little bit more expensive than a lot of people want to pay ongoing. I know there's an agency that charges $2,000 a month for two podcast interviews. There's another agency that I think it's like $17,000 for 30 interviews. And I'll be 100% clear, that's a deal. If you get onto those podcasts, you close $100,000 of business, right?
Sure,
that's a deal. But what we find is a lot of our clients are newer to podcast interviewing, so they're not 100% confident with their interviewing style. Maybe they haven't really dialed in their call to actions. So we're helping them with those things as well. How to be a great guest, how to figure out what call to actions you're going to have based on the podcast that you're on. And then I think having a virtual assistant who can consistently book you on podcasts week after week, who knows exactly what podcast you want to go on, you know, who they go into your schedule and do it for you. So again, it's having that teammate, having that support on your team, I think is really important. And the other thing is after your virtual assistant is really awesome at getting you booked on podcasts, they can also help you get booked for summits, or they can start working on getting you speaking engagements. So again, it's bringing someone onto your team, building that know and trust with your support person, and then figuring out where you can expand from there.
Excellent. Sounds like a really great program. Now, I don't want you to give everything away, but can you give us like one juicy tidbit as what you find really effective for somebody who is looking to get on more podcasts?
Yeah, there's some great Facebook groups out there. So I would just basically say, go and check out those groups. It's so funny because I think a lot of people talk about the one sheet. We don't have a lot of people ask for the one sheet. They generally have a form that you fill out, which is what we do for our guests for both of our podcasts. So again, start documenting everything. If you want to apply to be on podcast, it's very time consuming, and each podcast host is going to ask you different questions. So start gathering all of those assets and put them in one place. So when you do apply for podcast, you have all of those things at your fingertips.
Makes sense. And everybody making a one sheet, I appreciate how beautiful they are and how much work you put into them. But I know for myself, I don't really look at them a ton.
I know. I feel like there's a place for them. It's just, I just think they weren't as important as they once were.
Sure.
Because if you think about it, it's all about automation, right? If someone wants to be on the podcast, you send them the link, they fill out the form, they provide you everything you need, their headshot, all of those things. And then of course it's set up to send them automatic reminders. And yeah, I think most podcast hosts have really automated everything, so they'd rather have you fill out their form.
Yep, much easier.
Yes.
Okay, now tell me a little bit about finance. So you've been in business for a while now, but most people don't start business and then immediately know everything there is to know about the financial aspect of running a business. So what was it like for you when you first started, and where along the way did you start to pick things up and how?
Okay, so I've basically been self-employed my whole life. I started in real estate in the late 80s. I ended up moving to the mortgage side. I eventually owned a mortgage company and a title company. So for me, moving into the coaching side of the business, part of what I help my clients with on my one-on-one practice is their finances, helping them to understand how to keep their records. And I love the concept of paying themselves first. So I think for most of us, learning about finances is an ongoing journey for all of us as entrepreneurs, depending on where we are in that journey. And keeping up with things that are always changing. Right now, I think we're all watching what's happening with the sales tax, the state sales tax rulings, to see how that's going to play out for those of us that have courses and programs online. Yeah, but I love money. Okay, I love finances. I love our budgeting. So yeah, I'm a nerd like that.
Good. I'm sure it has served you well. Tell me what financial freedom looks like to you. So let's assume you're at the place in your business where everything's going like gangbusters. So you could take 2 months off and go on a cruise around the world if you wanted to. don't have to worry about money. What are you doing with your time then? What does your life look like?
Yeah. So I feel like for us, I'll speak for my business partner too. I feel like time and money freedom for us is not about when we take that big trip. It's about our day-to-day lives. Like she went on a field trip with her daughter last week. I was just in Virginia for 2 weeks with my family. And the only reason I was there for was a lacrosse game and a show choir concert. But being able for us to be able to work from anywhere is really powerful. But then also understanding that we do take good quality time off. And it's interesting because I really do feel like outsourcing is a form of self-care, realizing that you can have support in your business so you don't have to do everything. So I think for us, financial freedom, obviously it would be great to retire with $5 million in the bank so I could live on $280,000 a year. But yeah, I think financial freedom is about having the money to live right now, be able to save for retirement, to be able to support the people that we care about and the charities we care about. But I think for us, it's time freedom, being able to manage our schedules and do what we want to do when we want to do it.
I love that answer. Now, I want you to imagine that your business is like a garden hose. And I'm sure you know that a hose can go over itself, cuts off the flow of water entirely. If there's one kink in the hose of your business that's keeping the cash flow from just exploding through the door, what is it?
It's always the entrepreneur. It's always us, right? I'm sorry. Whether it is mindset challenges we need to overcome, whether it's we just hired an operations manager, which is long overdue, like you said, not hiring when we should to delegate. Yeah. So I think generally we tend to be the holdup in our businesses. But one of the things I love about working with entrepreneurs is they're always willing to grow and to learn. And I think that's so powerful. But yeah, I think it's always us. Whether it's not rolling out a new product soon enough, whatever it is, it's generally, whether it's fear of success, fear of failure, whatever that is, it's I would say it's us.
Yeah, I agree. The business is always a reflection of the business owner, 100%. As much as we might not like that answer, I think it's right.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so when money comes into your business, how do you decide how to allocate it? Do you have a sort of written financial plan that you follow? Is it just based on the needs of the moment, or what does that look like for you?
So we follow the profit first method. So in other words, we drop the 15% of gross into taxes. Then we drop what goes into our profit sharing kind of account. And then there's Jeannie's salary and my salary. So those are allocations. And then for us, it's also managing team cost and all the other costs that go into running a business. It's amazing, especially like with automated software or things that you can pay for that's automated, like you can really waste a lot of money. So we constantly stay on top of what's going out and how we're spending our money and making sure that we're making great decisions, because it is easy. It's easy to spend money that's not going to have a good ROI. And I think we see that a lot with business owners. They spend money on a hope and a prayer rather than on the long-term consistent strategy that's going to help them consistently make money. Because anyone who's selling you a get-rich-quick scheme or a marketing strategy that's going to help you make millions in 30 days, it's just not true. It's just not.
Yeah, if it were that easy, they'd be doing it for everybody and we'd all be making millions every week or whatever. So.
Right. Well, if it were that easy, if they would just be doing it themselves forever and ever, like not sharing their secret.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you mentioned that you were in the mortgage business. Do you have real estate that you've invested in? And what else do you like to invest in?
Yeah. So index funds, I'm not in real estate the way I was. I was heavy in real estate for a while, but not anymore. Although right now I'm looking like maybe at a quad or a duplex. But yeah, I tend to be, as I get older, I just want easy. So a lot of index funds and just consistently putting money away. I think that's the trick, is just the consistency. What's the trick to marketing? Consistency. What's the trick to having a good retirement? Consistency. What's the trick to being healthy? Consistently eating healthy, you know? So just trying to be consistent.
Makes sense. Now, can you tell everybody, if they are interested in learning more about your business and what it is that you do, where they can go to do that?
Sure. They could go to Six Figure Business Coaching, and that's SIX, Figure Business Coaching. That's also our YouTube channel where you'll find our podcast and also our talking head videos. And then I do have a free gift for your audience, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
Okay. It's a guide. It's called Double Your Income with a Marketing VA. And you could actually go to outsourcingforbosses.com, outsourcingforbosses.com, and get that guide. It may help you decide if outsourcing your marketing is something you want to do.
Sweet. Appreciate that. I'll drop that with your website in the show notes for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then before I let you go, Kirsten, can you give all the entrepreneurs out there your best piece of advice or just something that you want to share with them?
Yeah. You don't have to do it all yourself. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is that if you can spend more time in your unique ability, your creative genius, whatever you're really great at, if you can spend more time doing that, you'll be able to help more people. So hand off the things. If you don't like doing your bookkeeping, hire a bookkeeper. If you don't like doing your marketing, reach out to us. No, but just kidding. But yeah, seriously, think about what things you can hand off. The other thing I guess I would say to that is sometimes I think as entrepreneurs, we do a lot of busy work that doesn't move the needle at all. And I think we do that busy work because it's safe. And that makes sense, right? Sometimes being a business owner is scary. So just ask yourself, if you're doing a lot of busy work, how is this getting in my way? How is this getting in the way of me really growing my business? How is this getting in the way of me growing as a business owner? And then think about either eliminating it, automating it, or delegating it.
Yeah, I definitely find with the entrepreneurs I talk to, that's one of their biggest challenges. They spend a lot of time on things that are not income or revenue generating activities. And it's great to make wonderful content, but if it's not selling your stuff, you're wasting your time. It's great to have a shiny, pretty website, but if you spend all day making it look nice and nobody goes to it, it doesn't matter. Right. So the thing you need to do is be getting in front of potential clients.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's where I think being a guest on podcasts is such a fabulous strategy. And I think it should be, especially moving forward, because I think podcasts are really about to explode. So I think for a lot of business owners, thinking about guesting is important.
Kirsten, you've been a fabulous guest. I've absolutely loved having you on. Yeah, of course. Thanks for taking some time out of your day and joining me and talking to everybody out there.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to interviewing you on our podcast.
Sweet. Can't wait. And to everybody who tuned in, really appreciate you. If you haven't given us a 5-star review yet, we would really love that. It helps us to get the word out to other entrepreneurs. And you can go ahead and subscribe to the podcast there as well. And that will help you know when we've got some new episodes coming out, like this one, which will be up soon. All right. Thanks so much. We will see you all next time.
If you've listened this far, chances are you're an entrepreneur looking to become more financially literate and create financial freedom for yourself from your business.
The Pay Yourself First podcast
is definitely here to help with that. My goal is to continue to share what I've learned about using your business as the tool to create financial freedom. But let's face it, it would take me years to share with you everything you need to know via these episodes. Creating financial freedom is something that most people never even consider, let alone make a plan for or take action towards. It's something almost no one was taught anything about. Doing it as an entrepreneur is even more challenging, especially without support. So if you're ready to get clear on what financial freedom looks like for you, come up with an action plan, and get the support systems and accountability you need, I invite you to consider the Abundantly Infinite Entrepreneur. I created the program to help entrepreneurs just like you get a handle on their personal and business finances and start building confidently towards financial freedom. And it's how you can discover ways to take 10 years off your retirement, add an extra 5 or 6 figures to your portfolio, and finally get clear on what numbers you should be tracking in your business and why. Together, we'll gain clarity around your financial goals and what being financially free would actually look like for you. Then we'll put together a customized game plan to get you there and the accountability to see you through. And by the way, you're also going to get all the spreadsheets you need to run your numbers, lifetime access to the materials, including any updates, and entry into our members-only community. In addition to all the knowledge, coaching, community, and systems that you need to create financial freedom from your business, you'll also receive a free financial assessment, a retirement planning session, and guided meditation aimed at helping you embody the feeling of true financial freedom. So yeah, you can just listen to the free content on these podcasts to help you move towards becoming a financially free entrepreneur. And sure, you'll likely see some results, or you can make the decision to commit to learning, implementing, and embodying what you need to know to create the financially free life you dreamed of when you started your business journey. Click the link in the show notes to answer a quick questionnaire, and you'll be on your way to joining the Abundantly Infinite Entrepreneur.